morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
You know, kind of just head on a swivel, because you never know when our world is going to be altered yet again. That's what life's been like since Thursday.
That's where we all living right now. Before we go any further, I want to nominate somebody for the heroes and villains.
My
daughter. You ready?
I'm ready.
This is my daughter, who's an A&M student.
Look, you're trying to put it off on your daughter. She knows that she could call me or text the show anyway if she wanted to. But I'm going to play along and go, oh, your daughter, how cool.
Loki.
You know what? Easy call. Good call. But is he a hero or a villain? Because people love him too much for him to be a villain.
It depends what day it is. Much like all of us, we are heroes and villains. Maybe the same day we can switch back and forth. So I think he's more of a real character. He can go either way on any given day.
He was an idiot. I will say that. But he was a hero-villain type. But, you know, because of him, there's a lot of dead people. So thank you so much for the nomination for your quote-unquote doctor. We'll put Loki on the list, okay?
Okay.
Alan Ward is the head brewmaster. Brigadoon Brewery, located on the grounds of the Texas Renaissance Festival. And I wanted to kind of talk to you about the repercussions, the stories, the world of craft beer in the current world we live in. Now, I know this isn't craft beer, but distilleries take the leftover, offshoot of the alcohol, and they make hand sanitizer. It's one of those things, kind of like a lot of them have done it for a long time, but now with all the, disinfect, this is going on all over the country. People are learning about it, and a lot of these distilleries give it away for free.
It is. And what they're doing is they're taking their first running, which they can't use, really, and they're mixing it with some kind of a gel to make a gel hand sanitizer out of it. So a lot of them are doing it all along inside the brewery, or distillery, I'm sorry, inside the distillery. And now, as a public servant, the craft distilleries now are just like any craft brewery and craft brew pub. They want to support about their surrounding people, their populace. They're giving it away. And it's a great thing, because those hand sanitizers from those distilleries are probably coming out about 90% alcohol now. You don't want to drink that alcohol. It's not drinkable alcohol, but it is very usable for cleaning with. It comes out about 90 to 80%. It can be used to basically kill almost anything in the world if you put it on there. So I think it's a great thing they're doing. Not only is it get rid of their byproduct of waste, but it serves the community a positive function. And kudos to them. Unfortunately, breweries and brew pubs cannot do that because their alcohol percentage is not high enough to do that with. It's just not possible. You can't use beer to clean with.
And this hand sanitizer, I mean, I know they're not allowed to make any FDA claims. They're not allowed to sell it because they can't. It works like any other. I mean, to the best of your knowledge, I want to put a disclaimer. You know what I mean? But
Sure. It's an alcohol-based product. And the thing about the alcohol hand sanitizers is the alcohol percentage in there. And I believe the CDC is anything about 60%. Don't quote me on that, but I think it's 60.
It is 60.
But definitely at 80-90% of alcohol, that's going to kill almost anything. Now, with any kind of sanitizer you use, just spraying it on there and walking away is not going to help. You want to wipe that surface down with a hand sanitizer on your hand. You want to wipe your hands and rub it together and get it all over your hand, because you're squirting in your palms and your fingers and do the job. You got to get on the backside and get a good work up there and sing a birthday song, whatever you want to sing, and make sure that you get that hand sanitizer everywhere so it kills all the germs on front and back of your hand. But yeah, it's going to work. It's the percentage of alcohol that matters in there.
And you mentioned sanitize. Here's something I've known forever, from talking to the likes of you and Chris at Blackwater Draw and from other brew tours I've taken, sanitation. It's like you can't make beer without being sanitary sanitation, and it's obsessive even for the best of brewers.
It is. That's one thing about breweries is that in a brewery, you spend 90% of your time cleaning. It is literally you're a janitor, and you've got to have everything sanitized, because one little thing will ruin a beer, and you get one chance at a beer with a customer, and it's money. If you burn a big batch of beer, you might have, just before you even get to the even can or bottle, you may have, 4 or 5 grand involved in that tank, maybe even more for bigger breweries, and you can't afford to lose that if it gets infected. And any bit of dirt or germs, bacteria, can change the flavor of that beer. And we're so, anal, you'd say, about the percentage of what we have to do is, not only is it the inside of the containers that matter, but it's the hoses, it's the piping, it's every utility that touches that beer has got to be sanitized. So you can't have any portion of that may possibly contaminate your beer. And a big contamination of a beer is old beer. So if you ran a beer through a line yesterday and you go home and you come back the next day and use the same hose, you've got to make sure that hose is sanitized again and ready to go every time you get ready to use it, even if it's the same tank. Because there's airborne stuff that's got in contact with the hose now. It's going to ruin your beer. It's just not worth it.
Now, did you say, sometimes phone lines, right? 90% of your time at a brewery is spent cleaning?
Yeah, maybe I overstated that. Let's say
okay, 80. Maybe it's 85. Still, what a number.
Yeah. Most people get involved with brewing because all the excitement and the enjoyment. But brewing is literally hours and hours of boredom of cleaning, trying to buy a few seconds of doing something exciting, followed by maybe half of a minute drinking beer that day, and the rest of his time is cleaning. You are a glorified janitor, and everything you do is about cleaning and cleaning and cleaning. You don't get to drink beer all day long. I know a lot of people think, brewers drink beer all day long. They don't. You don't get a beer until your shift's over with. That's a shift beer. So your dinner set the day is cleaning and moving and hauling and cleaning. And that's most of your day is cleaning. And you are a glorified janitor. It's fantastic. It's wonderful.
Now, I know if any part of this process is not done up to spec, you don't get the flavor you're looking for. It's kind of simple, isn't it? But also, it affects the brewing process. You might not get beer at all.
Well, you're going to get something out of it, usually. And the problem with what you do is you're making a great medium. You're making sugar water, and it's a great medium for anything to grow on. So the important thing about making a beer, you take a sugar water product and you put it into a tank, and you want to get it with your yeast as fast as possible. And we pitch yeast onto a sugar water. We over-pitch the yeast so it can just totally take over that tank. Anything inside there can change it. And even if a dirty speck inside there may not be totally infected, but can cause the yeast to act differently inside there. So you don't want to have anything that's going to affect your pH or your bacterial level inside that tank or hoses. And it's very important. A lot of breweries will get in trouble because they have what's called a dead leg. You've got hard piping and somewhere you got an end or key to it and doesn't get cleaned properly. And that's where most of your infections come from in bigger breweries. So they're very, very cautious about that, about running things through it. And they run some pretty nasty stuff through those lines. Now, it's all food grade items. We clean here at Brigadoon with a caustic, and it is a heavy caustic, and we clean with that. And then we actually sanitize with an acid, a severe acid. All of them are food grade, meaning that they're meant to be involved with food contact surfaces, and they're not hazardous, and there's long, no cancer agents or anything like that into it. But it's got to be harsh in order to kill any bacteria, any infections are there, or wild yeast. There's also wild yeast in the air. You got to be careful of that one, too.
I want to talk about the expected impact of the new world we're living in, and we don't know for how long, where I think Governor Abbott just said people of 10 or more should not gather. 10 or more is the number we're down to now. Austin's closing the restaurants and bars, and we know the stories that are coming in from around the world. And you have a craft brewery, and you have a tap room. And for craft breweries, we're going to say the 80%, not the big boys like maybe an Allstat or St. Arnold's, but for 80%, 90%. They barely survive month to month anyway. There's a potential devastation of the craft beer market in this story.
There is, and there's an aspect you may not have considered as a craft brewer. A lot of craft breweries, smaller ones especially, don't have packaged goods. They don't have cans or bottles. So you're sending out kegs to bars, and the bars are now closed. So there's no keg sales at all. So all you have now at your brewery location is drive-through traffic. If you have no package to start with, all you have now is growlers, which is a problematic issue. You wouldn't want to take somebody's outside growler in because it could affect your brewery, so all you can now have is new growler sales going out.
And how many growlers do you even have in stock for that?
Exactly. So, and then how many people are going to want to buy a growler every time you can buy a beer? So not only is the taproom sales gone, but the smaller guys have no can, have no packaging, or limited packaging, and you can't get it out there. So there's no way to bring in sales. I think you're going to see a huge reduction in craft breweries when we come out of this. And I'm looking, not to be pessimistic about this, but realistic, I'm going to say we're not out of this till July or August, to be honest with you. Looking at things, how they're going, and people ramp production back up. And some of those folks can't make it that long. You're looking at money coming in, hand to mouth, basically. So money's coming in, you're paying bills and going out. And without that, some of these guys won't make it. Now, any brewery or new business that started out, they should have money to cover themselves in 3 years if they're smart. But they may have anticipated some income coming back in. And that's going to be devastating for those. Not only that, but keep in mind the employees and the restaurants and things like that. You can't keep a complete sales staff or bar staff on contract for forever. It's just not going to work out. it's going to be horrible. And then look at the other aspect, you know, advertising. People aren't going to advertise.
Yep.
They're not going to go out. They're not going to buy. It's going to be, this is a, not to be poetic or doomsday, this is going to change the United States forever, or for a very long period of time. You look at major events, you know, the Great Depression changed us, wars have changed us. This is going to be a life-changing move for the entire nation as far as how they come out of it. Now, when they come out of it, great. Things may get fantastic and let up in 45 days, but some of these places may not make 45 days.
Well,
it's going to be hard.
We'll never be the same after is the way the kind of how I call it. We'll never be the same after this is done. Our lives will have been changed forever, and to what degree is what we'll find out, but our lives will be changed forever after this. Alan, back to the craft breweries. I know some of the bigger ones and capable ones like St. Arnold's. I've always shared my true love and passion of them. They've already adjusted to the new reality because they shut down the restaurant, beer garden. My God, the beer garden, the beer hall, they have everything. You know, they're a showroom. They've already adjusted. What they're doing now is that you can do beer or food because their restaurant's amazing to go. And they've been doing that for a while now already.
Right, they can do that and a beer and a combo. I think I saw online, not that I was checking out to buy a beer and pizza, but
sure.
I think they had a pizza and a beer for $22, which is not that bad, but a six-pack of beer and a pizza. So they've actually ramped up, and they've got a nice location. Their front drive-thru can be easily converted to that. They're prepared for that. So you got St. Arnold's in Houston. I know Petacles in Dallas is doing a similar thing with alcohol. The Roar and Sons in Fort Worth is doing something similar. So a lot of your bigger breweries who've got packaged goods are doing that. And if they have the ability to sell food also, they're adapting to the drive-thru process. And the bigger guys, St. Arnold's, Petacolis, Roar and Sons, these guys who have packaged goods will be fine because guess what you can find in the store right now? You can go to the store and buy beer. I was shocked. We went the other day to buy some stuff on a regular grocery run, and there's no TP. There's no toilet paper. I can't wipe my hands or my bottom. But I can get some beer. Now, that was okay. Beer and wine was still there. So that's not going to be a problem available supply line if you have packaged goods. Those breweries may actually make a little more sales, but they're going to lose the taproom sales for sure.
You know, the other day I was at the grocery store, and I had 10 cases of beer in my cart, and I was going to check out, and the lady was looking at me weird, and I'm like, you know, I want the Corona thing. And she was, you know, and eventually I left it there and walked out embarrassed. But still, yeah, there's still plenty of beer in the stores.
Yeah, beer.
That was
okay.
About 2 months ago, but still, you know, there's still plenty of beer in the stores.
10 cases a weekend, isn't it?
Well, you know, it's a good weekend. It's a lot of fun on the weekend. And Alan, you know, I think about the industry of craft brewing, and we kind of knew that things were reaching a point of almost of expiration because it was expanding so fast, so much. This virus might be the course correction for your industry.
It will be, because those people who have not got packaged goods will not survive. If you can't make sales, you can't survive through this whole environment. And it's just going to be a correction and maybe an overcorrection. I think you're going to see a lot of businesses, especially mom and pops, they're not going to be able to pull through. They just can't make it. There's no way around it.
Mm.
Yeah. But I do want to talk to you about something else while we're on the phone before our time is maybe short.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
About cleaning stuff. And I want to caution folks not to mix cleaning products.
Because wait, what do you mean about cleaning products?
Yeah, don't mix them. Oh. I mean, for example, don't mix Clorox with other things. You do not want to mix it with vinegar. It's not good. Don't mix it with baking soda. Do not mix it with ammonia, drain cleaner. There's things you can mix other things you may have in your household. Hydrogen peroxide, that stuff is nasty. Do not mix that with anything. So read the labels on those cleaning products. I know you may want to clean everything really well at the house, and that's good and that's fine. But do not start mixing cleaning products. It can be very, very dangerous. It's not a good idea. Clorox is a chlorine product, and by nature, it will kill everything it touches. It's just fine. Take 2 teaspoons per gallon, mix it up, and rub things down with it. That's fine, but do not start mixing it. Say, hey, look, I'll take Clorox to add extra stuff to it, extra whoomp to it. I'll add rubbing alcohol to it. No, don't do that. I'll add, you know, a vinegar. Don't do that. Hydrogen peroxide, no, don't. In fact, don't put anything with hydrogen peroxide. It's nasty. Ammonia, don't put it with it. It's not going to work out well. So be sure when you start cleaning to follow those ingredient bottles and don't start mixing cleaners. It's not good.
Do not mix cleaning products. period, and keep it that simplified. Period. Do not. It doesn't matter what your grandma told you or what you read on the interwebs. Do not mix cleaning products, period.
Period. It's just not worth it. I just want to make sure to get up after people because I don't think people are scared, and I don't want them to have other problems besides what I had to deal with.
Alan, thank you always. We'll be checking in again with you soon. Look, best of luck, you and the family. Great health. Take care.